majority of murderers, thieves, blackmailers, and what all, caught by the lie detector in the last decade or so, have been hardened, relentless criminals. Personally, I have little or no sympathy for most of them. My feelings toward them have been as cold as the calculating pens of the polygraph, which revealed their crimes in scientific measurement of blood pressure fluctuations, variances in pulse and breathing rates, and in minute electrical changes in skin resistance. But I must admit that there have been a few cases that aroused my pity and understanding. On one or two occasions, I regretted the lie detector was so infallible, so accurate, so accusing. One such case I'd like to review for you tonight. Wesley Abbott, a moderately prosperous contractor in a downstate Illinois town, was driving home from a lodge meeting about 11:30 one night. Abbott was half-dozing as he drove along the familiar road when suddenly something loomed up in the path of his headlights that awoke him with a start.
Hey, what the devil is this?
A pretty girl was standing in the middle of the road, frantically waving her arms. A pretty girl whose face was streaked with mud, whose hair was in disarray, and whose dress had been ripped from shoulder to waist.
Help me. Please help me.
Good gosh. Margie. Margie Turner, is that you?
Oh, Mr. Abbott, I've never been as glad to see anyone. I didn't know what I was going to do.
Well, you climb in here, girl. You been in an accident or something?
Whatever happened to me? I've read about things like this, but I honestly didn't think it would ever happen.
Your face is a mess, girl. Who the devil tore your dress like that?
Please take me home, Mr. Abbott. Everyone will be worried to death about me.
Well, sure, Margie. Of course, if you you don't want to talk about it.
I don't want even to think about it. He might have killed me. Left me on the side of the road to die.
No. You wait a minute, Margie. This sounds like a pretty serious business.
If he hadn't stopped that truck, I don't know what I would have done. I just fought as hard as I could and kept running until you came along.
Well, look here, Margie. Maybe you better wrap my overcoat around you. It's right there on the back seat.
Thank you. I was shivering, I guess.
Now, look here. I think you'd better give me the whole story right from the beginning. Might save time when we get to police headquarters.
I work at the library, you know, Mr. Abbott.
Yeah, I know.
And I usually get through about 4:30 in the afternoon. This afternoon, I worked until after 5.
Mm-hmm.
When I left the building, there was a red car parked out in front. A convertible. There was a man sitting in it, and he opened the door when I reached the sidewalk.
Oh, Margie?
I beg your pardon?
Hey, wait a minute, please. I've got to talk to you.
I don't know why. I haven't the slightest idea who you are.
But I know who you are, and I've known you for years.
I don't see how you could have. I've never seen you before in my life.
Sure you have.
Why are you waiting here? What do you want?
Well, frankly, I thought I might give you a lift home.
No, thank you. If you'll excuse me, I just have time to make my bus.
Hey, now, wait a minute. Do I look like a blue beard or something?
Of course not.
Then why are you afraid of me?
I'm not afraid of you. I don't know you, that's all.
Yeah, I know you. Isn't that enough?
It is not. If you don't mind, I'll...
I have plenty of references.
What references?
Well, mutual friends. Mutual friends like Tommy Blaine and...
Tommy Blaine? Are you a friend of Tommy's?
Sure. We were brought up together in Park Ridge.
That's right. Tommy did live in Park Ridge once. I remember hearing him mention it.
I'm beginning to make sense, huh? I'm beginning to sound more legit to you.
But why do you want to drive me home particularly?
Well, now that's a stupid question. Have I looked at yourself in the mirror and you'd know why?
I don't see how I could have seen you without noticing you.
Oh, it's never too late to make up for lost time. Hop in.
If I let you drive me home, I'm not encouraging you, understand? If you know Tommy Blaine so well, you must know that I'm his girl.
You're not engaged to him, are you?
Well, no, but...
Then I can hope, can't I?
I suppose so. But it won't do you any good. Tommy and I have, well, a sort of understanding.
Well, unless you're actually engaged, I have every right to drive you home. Haven't I?
Just this once, anyway. I'm sure Tommy's going to propose to me tonight.
Well, as I said, I can still have hopes. Entrez-vous, mademoiselle.
Oh, merci, monsieur. I live at...
I know where you live.
You seem to know everything, don't you?
Uh-huh. I was almost too late, though.
Too late?
You've got no idea how much nerve it took for me to wait out there and, make a direct approach, you know?
You don't seem very timid to me.
Well, yeah, really. For a long time, I've worshipped you from afar, Margie.
That's just your line again.
No. But since I've gone this far, I've decided to go further.
Wait, why are you turning here? This isn't the way home.
I've decided that Tommy Blaine will never get a chance to propose to you. I gotta take matters into my own hands.
Turn around. You turn this car around or I'll open the window and scream.
I don't think you will. You see, I've thought of everything, Margie.
A gun. You have a gun.
I told you it took me a long time to get up this much nerve, Margie. And now that I've found it, I won't stop at anything. You're gonna marry me if I have to take you all the way to Mexico. Oh, will you please stop that slobbering? I don't know what you're beefing about. I'm not such an impossible guy to get along with.
Tommy Blaine will kill you for this. He'll kill you.
I'll take a chance. Ah, nuts. Couldn't that truck have stalled on the other side of the road instead of right in the middle?
You let me out of
here.
Don't
you try it. Unless you're willing to find out how serious I really am.
Why are you doing this to me? Why?
It's very simple. I've made up my mind that I love you.
Love me? Do you think this is the way to make love to a girl?
Well, maybe this is a better way.
Don't you dare try to kiss me.
Why don't you try cooperating? You might get to like it.
Like it? Do you think any girl would like to be kissed with a gun pointed at her?
I'm perfectly willing to put the gun down.
That's big of you.
There. See, I'm practically disarmed. Now, what about it?
Well,
that's better. I think you're gonna like this, Margie.
You'll never kiss me, never.
Hey, come back here. Don't try that.
Let go of me.
Come back.
You're tearing my dress.
Come back here.
Help me. Somebody help me.
He shot at you, Margie? He actually shot at you?
Yes, Mr. Abbott. I stumbled and fell into the bushes along the side of the road. I thought for a moment that I'd been hit, but then I realized that he'd missed me. I got up and ran as fast as I could. I just kept running until you came along.
What about the truck driver up ahead? Don't you suppose that he heard the shots?
I don't know. I think I heard the truck start up just as I ran away from the convertible. He might have gotten it started just as the shots were being fired. Oh, I don't know what I would have done if you hadn't have come along, Mr. Abbott. My mother will be worried to death about me.
We'll phone her from police headquarters, Margie. And they'll want to get an alarm out as soon as possible.
Main highway into Rockford. Red convertible, late model. Young man, 23 to 26. Slender, brown hair. Good looking, probably 5'11". Blue suit. That's about all. What? No, license number not available. Hello to all county and state police. Roadblocks in and out of Rockford. Warn them that their man is armed. Okay. Marsden comes in. Right. It would have helped us considerably, Miss Turner, if you'd been able to give us more details. Especially the make of the car and the license number.
I'm sorry, Captain Nelson, but I was too frightened. I was only concerned with getting away.
I don't know as I blame her, Captain. Margie was in pretty bad shape when I found her out there on the highway.
You're lucky you're not in worse shape, Miss Turner. For the life of me, I don't know where your brains were when you stepped into a stranger's automobile.
Please, Captain Dawson, I know I was a fool. I just want to go home. I'm terribly tired.
Yeah, I suppose you are. But I can't have much sympathy for any girl foolish enough to fall for a stunt like that. Do you know how many girls have been murdered just because they were gullible enough to fall for a stranger's line?
Don't, Captain Dawson. Don't.
If you've got all the information you want out of us, Captain, I'll take her on home.
Yeah, I suppose you might as well. But don't be surprised if we have to call on you before dawn, Miss Turner. Red convertible shouldn't be too hard to locate, and we'll need an identification.
Here's your man, Dawson.
Eh? Oh, come on in, Blaine.
What's the idea of picking me up, Captain? I was sound asleep when you... Margie, you here?
Tommy. Oh, Tommy, I've had the most terrible experience.
Take the girl on home, Abbott.
Now, wait a minute. What's this all about? What happened, Margie?
Oh, Tommy,
I'll give him all the dope, Miss Turner. You better get some rest. Take her along, Abbott.
But Margie, that dirt on your face and your dress is all torn. What have they done to you?
Oh, it was the most awful thing, Tommy.
Come on, Margie. You can tell him all about it when you've got some sleep.
Now, look here, Captain Dawson. If someone was hurt, Margie, I'll...
Someone tried to, Tommy. I think she's a pretty lucky girl to be alive.
What? Who?
I'm hoping you may be able to tell us. How many friends do you have over in Rockford or vicinity?
Rockford? I never get over that way. I don't think I know anyone in Rockford.
Yeah. I thought you might have a rival. Someone who might be competing for the favorable position you seem to occupy with Marjorie Turner.
Rockford? A rival?
Does that mean something, Tommy?
You bet it does. Well, I thought it was some kind of a gag.
A gag? Let's have it.
Well, just 2 weeks ago, I got a letter from Rockford. Wait a minute. I think I've still got it in my wallet.
A letter? Who from?
I don't know. It's not signed. Here. See if you wouldn't think this a gag.
If you have any ideas about marrying Marjorie Turner, you'd better forget it. You haven't got a chance. Any idea who wrote this?
No. I figured it was somebody at the power company where I work. Oh, they're always playing jokes and stuff. And wouldn't you think it was a joke if you got a letter like that?
Yeah, I suppose I would. But after what happened tonight, Tommy, it's no joke. If we don't pick up a red convertible before morning, this letter goes to the Chicago Crime Lab for examination under the microscope.
Naturally, the attempted abduction of Marjorie Turner made newspaper headlines in many sections of the country. There had been an epidemic of such cases in recent years, and the papers used every example that came along in a campaign to educate the public, especially young girls, in the dangers involved in accepting rides from strangers. I read about the case in Chicago without realizing that I was shortly to become directly involved in it. I read they had picked up a few red convertibles and several suspects for questioning, but the girl had been unable to make positive identification. Then I read that through laboratory microchemical analysis, they had determined the type of ink used in the letter and had located the manufacturer of the bond paper upon which the letter was written. By process of elimination, they had traced both the ink and the paper to a printing firm in Rockford. Captain Dawson saw fit to take Marjorie Turner on a tour of inspection of that particular printing firm.
Now, look, Miss Turner, the executives know what we're here for, but no one else does. You and I are going to walk through the shops and offices, and I want you to carefully study every man you see. If you can make identification, don't say so immediately. Wait until we're back here in the corridor before you give me the dope. You understand?
Yes, Captain Dawson. Perfectly.
All right. Let's go. Now, just walk slowly alongside of me. Keep your eyes open and say nothing.
All right.
Just keep walking slowly, Miss Turner. You don't want to tip anyone off. These are the shop workers. Look around carefully, Miss Turner. That just about covers the whole plant. Come on out into the corridor.
Captain Dawson. Captain Dawson, he's there.
You sure?
I know he's the one. He was in the office section, sitting at the desk next to the far window.
First your right thumb, and the four fingers of your right hand.
You've got no right to fingerprint me. I never saw that girl in my life.
Plodgett. Just cooperate, and you'll make a lot easier on yourself.
But I tell you,
Johnson,
that I...
Yes, Captain.
When you get this man booked, bring him into the office. The DA wants his complete statement.
The next day, I read in the papers that Fred Blodgett, 24, an accountant for a Rockford printing firm, had been indicted by the grand jury for abduction and attempted murder. The wheels of justice turn fast in a case like that. Fred Blodgett had a red convertible. He carried a pistol in the glove compartment. Two shots had been fired. In spite of his claim of innocence, the case against him looked very serious. That same afternoon, a very distraught woman was ushered into my office.
Oh, Mr. Keeler, I'm Mrs. Blodgett. I'm Fred Blodgett's mother.
Oh, yes. I've been reading about your son's difficulty over in Rockford. Won't you sit down, Mrs. Blodgett?
Thank you. Mr. Keeler, I'll come to the point. My son is completely innocent of that crime they're charging him with.
Well, I hope you're right, Mrs. Blodgett, but I don't quite see how I fit into the picture. All I know about the case is what I've been reading.
Well, my lawyer has obtained permission from the district attorney's office for Fred to take a lie detector test.
Oh, I see. Now I'm beginning to understand. Do you think a polygraph test will clear your boy?
I know it will. Why, Fred wouldn't do a thing like that, Mr. Keeler.
What about the red convertible and the gun?
He has a permit to carry that gun. Why, he often transports company funds in his car.
But two shots were fired, Mrs. Blodgett.
I know that, but he said he tried the gun out right after he got it. But it was just to make sure it was working properly.
But what about that threatening letter sent to young Tommy Blaine?
Oh, they haven't proved that it's Fred's handwriting. They're just trying to make everybody think that it is.
Mrs. Blodgett, are you positive that your son is innocent?
Oh, if I only could be positive. But I have to know, Mr. Keeler. Regardless of how the lie test comes out, I want my boy to take it. It's the only way I can ever be sure.
Fingerprints, jail cell, and now a lie detector test. How much do they think they can do to an innocent person?
If you are innocent, you'll be glad you took this test, Fred.
Oh, you will see. All the scientific gadgets in the world will make me confess to something I didn't do.
All right, now just calm down and answer just yes or no, please. Any further talk will only delay the test.
Okay, go ahead. But I'll make this Margie Turner mightily sorry for what she's done to me.
Is your name Frederick Blodgett?
Yes.
Do you live in Rockford?
Yes.
Do you own a 1947 convertible?
Yes.
Do you carry a gun?
Yes.
Have you eaten today?
Yes.
Do you know Marjorie Turner?
No.
Have you ever seen Marjorie Turner?
Yes. When she accused me of...
Just yes or no, please. Did you write that note to Tommy Blaine?
No.
Do you know Tommy Blaine?
No.
Have you ever seen Tommy Blaine?
No! You won't get anywhere, Mr. Keeler. I swear you won't get anywhere with me.
My name is Keeler, Miss Turner. Captain Dawson said he didn't think you'd mind if I called on you.
Of course not, Mr. Keeler. I know who you are, and I want to cooperate with the police in every way.
Then you know I've just given Fred Blodgett a polygraph deception test.
I heard that you were going to.
Miss Turner, I wonder if you'd be willing to take such a test.
A lie test? Me? Why would I have to take one?
Well, offhand, the best reason I can think of is that you wrote that letter to Tommy Blaine.
What?
Your disguised handwriting wasn't good enough, Margie. The experts are pretty sure that you wrote that letter.
I certainly did not. Didn't they trace the letter to that printing company in Rockford?
Yes. And they also traced you.
Me?
They know that you took a bus to Rockford a couple of weeks ago. They know that a girlfriend of yours works at that printing company. They also know that you took another bus to Rockford on the evening that you were supposedly abducted. And that you got off the bus on the outskirts of town.
I didn't.
You streaked your face with mud and tore your own dress, didn't you, Margie?
Please, Mr. Keeler, close that door. If anyone hears about this, I'll simply die.
Do you think you'd like to take a lie detector test, Margie?
No. No, I wouldn't.
If you'll tell me the whole story, perhaps it won't be necessary.
Mr. Keeler, have you ever been in love?
Well, if you don't mind, I'll ask the questions.
Well, if you have, you know what a horrible thing love is. Especially for a girl who doesn't know where she stands.
Assuming that love is indeed a horrible thing, what next?
Tommy Blaine would never make up his mind. I did everything I could to make him propose,
but... You even went so far as to visit your girlfriend in that Rockford printing plant and mail a letter to Tommy, didn't you?
Yes, I thought if he thought someone else cared about me, he might propose right away.
But he didn't.
No. He thought the letter was a joke. Then I thought of the other thing.
Mm-hmm. If somebody tried to carry you off, it might make Tommy see the light and want to marry you right away.
Yes. Mm. Oh, you have been in love, haven't you, Mr. Keeler?
Let's continue to discuss you, shall we? Now, whatever gave you the idea of trumping up that story about Fred Blodgett?
My girlfriend sent me a picture of him in his red convertible. He took her out once. I used him as a sort of imaginary rival for Tommy.
But you actually identified Fred Blodgett. You caused him to be arrested.
I didn't ever think they'd be suspicious of that printing company. When they took me there, I had to identify someone. If I didn't, I was afraid they'd find out that...
Yes. You were afraid they'd find out what I found out.
Mr. Keeler, you're not really a police officer. Do you have to tell them? Does anyone have to know?
Look here, Margie. Do you realize what you've done?
I didn't mean to do anything except make Tommy come to his senses. I didn't mean to...
Whether you meant it or not, you've put the county and the state to considerable effort and expense. You've had squad cars chasing all over the country. You've had laboratory criminologists and police officials working night and day. You've used up hundreds of columns of newspaper space. You've had an innocent boy arrested, fingerprinted, and put behind bars.
But hasn't anyone ever been in love?
I'm afraid you're going to have to ask a jury that question, Margie.
Oh.
What you've done is a pretty serious offense. But perhaps in the interests of Cupid, I...
What will they do to me, Mr. Keeler? What will they do?
I don't know, Margie. I wish I could tell you. But I don't think even the lie detector can answer that question. If you can find a jury of your peers willing to take romance into consideration, well, I don't know.
Oh, Mr. Keeler, the most wonderful thing happened.
Huh? Oh, hello, Margie.
I'm on probation.
Really? Well, good girl, but I won't congratulate you, young lady, until I find out how you behave from here on in.
Oh, but you'll have to congratulate me for something else, Mr. Keeler. I'm going to be married.
Well, say, that is good news. So Tommy Blaine finally decided to propose, huh?
Oh, no, not Tommy Blaine.
What?
I'm going to marry Fred Blodgett, Mr. Keeler. After all the trouble I caused him, that's the least I can do.